When I do a bulletin for a Sunday, I pick an old one and update it, and that's why sometimes I left in a baby dedication when we didn't have a baby dedication. But anyway, I picked the one from Resurrection Day, from Easter Sunday, and I noticed that my message title that day was God's Eternal Plan, and I had picked the message title today, God's Amazing Plan. And so I want to just back up just a moment on what we were sharing on that Resurrection Day, the eternal plan that God purposed, and we're going to be going back. He had to make some of these decisions. He made these decisions eternity past, but he made them specifically back in Genesis 3 when our whole human race fell into sin and submitted to that wicked serpent at that time, that he ordained that his son would come and take up human flesh. Didn't cease to be God, but he took on mankind to be like us so that ultimately we could be like him. And that's an amazing thing that God has done, that we have a resurrected Jesus Christ that I believe carries the scars of the cost throughout eternity. But one of the wonderful things is that in making him like us, letting him be like us, that he came and took on the seed of mankind, that then not only he would be like us, but that we can be like him. In Romans 8, it's 29, it says that God, those that he knew ahead of time, that he destined them to be like his son. And I with reverence think of that next part, that we would be conformed to be like him, that we would be conformed to his image, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. It's a sobering thing to think of that, but John said, when we see him, we'll be like him, for we'll see him as he is. And God's process right now is in our lives to help us to grow, being more and more like Jesus Christ. I think our verse this next Wednesday talks about if we say we abide in him, we should walk as he walked. We learn to know more about him, but ultimately, in the Father's mind, there'll be a family at home, brothers and sisters in the family, adopted into the family. In John 2, when we see him, we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What an amazing eternal plan that God has. I want to follow up in this matter of God's amazing plan, then, to use mankind, to use those in Romans 8 that says we are made a little lower than the angels and crowned with glory and honor. Talks about taking care of his creation and so forth. But even more than that, to take care of God's business. It's a very sobering thing to me to think that the angels could see us made lower than them, that God has chosen to bring us into the family, to invest his spirit in us, and to use us in a special way. John 14:12 says this, that he believeth in me. Remember Jesus talking about going away, and he's going to send his spirit. But he said in 14:12, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And just to think of this amazing thing that God has chosen us, we're born sinners, but then we're redeemed by the blood of Christ. Let me share how he says it in 2 Corinthians 4. Where he says, this is 2 Corinthians 4:5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And then he says this, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So as in John 15, we're just a branch. But we have this wonderful privilege of being united with Jesus Christ as he there shares that we abide in him and he abides in us, and he will work through us to get his work done, but it's his work done in his way by his power. So I want to just go back a bit to Genesis 3. That's where the spiritual warfare all started. I just can't even imagine at the end of the creative act that's recorded that the Lord saw that everything was very good. He put Adam and Eve, as we know, in the garden with so much privilege, fellowship with the Father. They had spiritual eyesight open to the spiritual, which we don't have. Because of Satan said, that serpent said, your eyes will be open, but our spiritual eyes went closed. And we now have to operate by faith since that day. Gave them everything they wanted to eat, one off limits. In God, God always has to test this matter of giving choice. He gave us free will. He gave his angels free will, and some of them abused that, obviously, and fell. Adam and Eve had choice. One off limits, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He says, in the day that you eat of that, you'll die. The serpent comes, and I have no idea what the serpent looked like. Evidently a beautiful creature that Satan was indwelling in, and came to Eve and reasoned with her and beguiled her. She knew exactly what God had said. She said it to him. But he convinced her, your eyes are going to be open. It's going to be so much better for you if you follow my advice. And she did. And she also persuaded Adam, and now God is confronted with his two people that have yielded to disobey him, had yielded to obey the wicked one, and he has to make choice. And God even knows all of this, you know, his eternal wisdom. There's two things when I think of how God works. One is Isaiah 40:28, where Isaiah says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He knows all things. And then not only that, but then the second, I think, in Isaiah 55, where he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. One of the joys of the Word of God and getting to know the Word of God is to start to learn his thoughts, start to learn his ways, because he does not do things like we would expect they would just naturally be done. God has his sight way into the future. So I was just thinking this morning a thought, and something we know, but it just hit me. God's got to make a decision here. The people, the couple that he made Adam in his likeness, after his image, and then he took and made Eve from Adam's rib. So what I do now? Destroy that devil, destroy this couple. But the thought that came to me this morning, when God looked at them, he saw Abraham. When he looked at them, he saw Moses. He saw Corrie Ten Boom. He saw Annie Johnson Flint. Praise God for that lady. I long to meet that lady in heaven. Went through really hard things, but really was able to express herself well about God. And you can... He knew Spurgeon. He knew Treva. He saw my family. He saw your family. And I praise God that Our God was able, in his extreme wisdom, to look down the line and say, I want this family back to myself. And so there were certain things he did right there. One of the things he did was to tell that serpent, you're on the ground from now on. Now you're going to eat dust. And I'll just refer to it, but in the passage this morning in John, or Luke 10, I'm sorry, he said, I give you power to tread on the works of darkness. That is also in Psalm 91. If you get under God's shadows, abiding in his secret place, wonderful blessings promised there in Psalm 91. But one of them is, I'll give my angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. They'll bear you up in their hands lest you dash your foot against a stone. And you shall tread on the lion and the adder. And it's the same thing again. I am giving you power over darkness to tread on the things of darkness. And boy, how our enemy hates that. But then, beyond that, there were other things. He said, I'm going to set enmity. He went after the woman. I'm going to set enmity between thee and the woman, between her seed and your seed. I thank God for every godly wife and praying wife and woman. Doesn't have to be a wife. It can be a single, whatever. Because you have a capability to really hate the works of the wicked one. And I can tell you, he hates you. He hates women. He hates anybody that has Jesus Christ in their life. But then out of that, he said that I am going to put my seed, the seed of woman, will bruise your head, Satan. There's no mistake. Satan came in the form of that serpent. Comes in various ways. But what he said there, I am going to send my son. And I just want you to know that John 3:16 goes right into Genesis 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And it's right there that God in his love, and as I said first, I believe that God looks down through the generations, and for your sake, for my sake, he sent a Savior that we can be in the family. Not only brought into the family, adopted into his family now, but to be there for generations forever. That's what God had in mind, was an eternal family there in Genesis 3. And so he, so many things. The other thing I want to point out there, it's in Genesis 3:21, in case you're there. God clothed Adam and Eve with skins. If you back up before that, after they fell and their eyes were open to good and evil, and their spiritual eyes were closed, they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves or some kind of leaves to cover themselves, which kind of points out our efforts to get right with God or to help. But he clothed them with skins, which I believe indicates the sacrificial system that was going to be there that it took to take care of sin. And so there was also indicated there, Hebrews 10:12 says this, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down on the right hand of God, opening the way into God's presence. And through the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, we have the privilege of belonging to him and to be born into his family. So, one of the things that I think is probably one of the most difficult things for our enemy is that God chose right there in Genesis 3 that he would use mankind made lower than the angels to defeat the wicked one and to have authority over him. You know Ephesians 6, but I want to just take a moment to remind you again where, just a moment, get here. I love Paul's words, first of all, in verse 10 of Ephesians 6, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And that's quite an exhortation to us, but he goes right on to explain how to do that. The very next word is, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the works of the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore." And he goes through pieces of the armor. I'm sure Paul probably watched a soldier. And another passage, he said, "Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ." But what he is doing is giving us provision for protection as we walk here spiritually. I'm so grateful for the provisions here of the armor of God, the provisions in Psalm 91 under God's shadow. You read again all the special blessings that are there for abiding in his secret place under his shadow and under his wings. So we are in a spiritual battle. One of the things, if I could convey one message after being thrown into the battle for many, many years, is the truth that you're not wrestling with flesh and blood. It looks like flesh and blood, it sounds like flesh and blood, but if God opens your eyes, there's an agenda behind it if you're having conflict and struggle. We're not wrestling with flesh and blood. And if we know that, then we will act upon getting into God's protection. So I want to go to Luke 10 and just point out just a few things that it was, to me, is like Jesus gave a short course. Before he sent the 70 out, if you read that passage, he tells them that I send you out as lambs among wolves. Harvest is great. You go out and share the gospel, the good news. But I don't even see that he gave them a short course on the battle until they came back. But they had experienced the battle. And I just point out a few things that occur to me that are important for us here. So they come back and they return with joy, saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." They ran into things. He had told them to go out and heal the sick. But they ran into demonic stuff. And they learned out there, we have authority in his name to put a stop to that, to send them away. Always send them where Jesus sends them. You don't want them just sent loose. And so Jesus had some things to say to them. So he said to them, the first thing, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." And you know the story of that. Lucifer was one of probably the most powerful, bright, beautiful angels that decided to rebel. And he said, "I will be like the Most High." And he rebelled against God. And one of his chief things that he will go after people is rebellion and pride and independence. But he fell. "I saw him as lightning." He gave up his glory. In fact, in that other passage is back in Genesis 3, using the serpent, he said, "You're going to crawl on the ground now and eat dust." He goes on to say, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you." God wants us to know, Jesus wants us to know that we can walk here taking a stand against the enemy and we can be safe. It's not that you won't be assaulted or whatever, but he gives us the wherewithal that we can walk here in safety. Verse 20, I see, is so important. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice that your names are in heaven. Deal with the battle here, but don't get enamored that by my name that you can do something with it. Keep your focus on, we're out of here one of these days. We are home. Satan is going to be put into the lake of fire and brimstone forever. Keep your focus on what's ahead for us, but do what you need to do for your own protection, for those around you, for spiritual help. But then I notice, it's kind of interesting, he said, don't rejoice that the spirits are subject to you. In verse 21, he says, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit. And he said, I'm so thankful, Father, that you have shown this to the, you've hid it from wise and prudent. You can get into all kinds of studies and you may miss it. There's a lot of people don't understand the reality of the spiritual battle. There's a lot of Christians that don't realize that they are not wrestling with flesh and blood. But he says, you've made it clear, you've revealed them unto babes, unto those that are childlike. They've seen it and they know it. And I just take note that Jesus rejoiced that that was happening. And then in verse 23, he turned to his disciples and said privately, your eyes are blessed for seeing this. I want you to know that there are, in the Old Testament all the way through, they desire to see these things and didn't see it, but you've heard it, you see it. And so what I come to the conclusion, a couple things. The battle, the spiritual battle you're in is real. It's not, well, Satan is so disgusted, that's not a strong enough word, that God has invaded and come into the lives of those made at a lower level than angels and brought them into family and given them authority over him. And we're not to rejoice in that, but we're to use it where we need to. But the important thing is to walk under protection. When I meet with people, I usually, the first thing I ask, do you have the armor of God on? And I know that's sometimes kind of embarrassing if they're not using it. But I believe every Christian needs to arm themselves with the armor of God, accept only what's from God, refuse all that's from the wicked one in Jesus' name. And further, I think it's so important to get under God's shadow, abide in his secret place, because we are in a battle. And what I wanted to say, the chief part of the battle is because he is against the Spirit of God and the Lord Jesus Christ that's in you. Arm yourself, protect yourself, and walk in spiritual victory, and help those that need help in this spiritual battle. So I just want to share today how important that has become in our lives over the years. We have the opportunity to try to help people be free, and Satan hates that. And there's no misgiving in our lives that he hates us. I hate what he does. But I want to walk in victory, and I want to pass on to others, be alerted. You're in a spiritual battle. Use the armor of God. In Ephesians 6, you have all this armor for protection, but then you have the sword of the Spirit, praying always with all prayer. You go on the offensive in that battle as well. And so I praise God for decision that the Father made right there in Genesis 3, in that situation, to be able to apply the truth of John 3:16. that I love the world so much that I'm sending my son to rescue you, that whoever believes will not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you, Father. Thank you that there's no searching of your understanding. Thank you for your ways. Thank you for your plan and purpose. I'm so thankful today, Lord, that you saw my friends here. You saw me when you looked at Adam and Eve. There is a way. There's a way that they can be redeemed. There is a way they can be back in the family. And I praise you that you provided Jesus. In his name, amen. Before we dismiss here, I'd just like us to sing a verse of, turn to it just a moment, a verse of 568, soldiers of Christ, arise, put your armor on. Let's do 568, if you'd stand. And if you're not making it a practice, I pray you will. It's a wonderful provision God has given us. Verse 1, 568. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for knowing our need, making provision for us. Thank you so much for your blessed Holy Spirit that has come to live in the life of every believer, to strengthen us and uphold us in this journey through this side of glory. We thank you. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.